This is a Rivalry Week edition of the Fan Happy Hour with Luke Anderson.
Dante Moore snapping back to throw. Steps up, throws toward the end zone. Sadiq's got it for the touchdown.
Brought to you by Roto-Rooter, the experts in plumbing, drains, and water cleanup. Oregon versus Oregon State.
We don't need any extra motivation to come in and want to whoop your ass.
It's Rivalry Week on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 FM, 1080 AM, and the Odyssey app.
Hey, happy Thursday, all you beautiful radio listeners. I hope you're having a wonderful start to your afternoon, and I'll tell you, starting this afternoon with a Capriotti's cheesesteak?
Yeah.
Not a bad way to do it.
Absolutely, yeah.
I won't say it's the best cheesesteak I've ever had. I won't even say it's the best cheesesteak in the area, but that is one hell of a sandwich.
It's a tasty sandwich.
Very, very good.
Yes.
Rufio won the pick'em last week. He is in the building. He brought in standards. This is not something that anybody else has to do, but if you come in because you win the pick'em and you bring food, I will not be mad at you.
Right.
Very, very good. We mentioned my favorite cheesesteak in the area, Philly Bilmo's. A friend of mine goes, "Hey, we need to go to that." He never makes any comments on the show. Never says good show, nothing like that. But he sends me immediately after we had the conversation. He goes, "We should probably plan on going there." And then I mentioned, I was like, "Well, Sook said I have to get the roast pork." He goes, "I've looked at that. That was pretty good."
Yeah.
Pretty good.
All right.
It's rivalry week, Jeff.
It is.
Did you know that? Should we talk about the rivalry game?
Probably at some point.
Who do you think is going to win?
Really?
Yeah.
Washington State.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
So, Ducks, Beavs, who you got?
Ducks.
Me too. Okay, cool. So, we talked about that.
Yeah.
cross that
off. The Apple Cup.
Cross that off our to-do list. Who do you think is going to win the Apple Cup?
Washington.
Okay, moving on.
There we go.
All right, so we did that. We checked the list. It's rivalry week. Congratulations. We got that out of the way. I have noticed a pattern of things in the headlines that I'm seeking out.
Okay.
Reading a lot more daily headlines because I'm doing a daily radio show now. So I kind of go to the same general sources. I'm trying to figure out this thing. I made a comment, maybe it was last week. I yelled at you for not having something perfect. I go, "It's been a month." And you go, "Yeah, it's only been a month."
Yeah.
We're still trying on some new things. We're exploring the space. We're figuring out the ways to do the show prep and do the thing.
Absolutely.
No matter where I go, I keep seeing headlines with stupid things that Ben Johnson says. Have you noticed that? Is this just a me thing, or does Chicago Bears' new head coach, Ben Johnson, just keep saying stupid things?
So is he turning into the latest genius coordinator that maybe was just best being a genius coordinator?
It feels very much this way. So he said yesterday, he goes, "Our practices aren't championship caliber."
Well, duh.
Well, okay, but what does that mean?
Yeah, what does it all mean,
Second
Basil?
Of all, whose fault is that?
Right, Mr. Head Coach.
Third, how many different ways can it be interpreted? So you're the one saying it, going, "I don't think it's championship caliber." First of all, I know you were the coordinator with the Lions. I don't remember them winning a championship.
No.
So do you even know what championship practice looks like? I haven't looked at his whole resume to see if he was ever a grad assistant for the Chiefs or a water hydration coordinator for Alabama. I don't know that he's been on a championship staff. But in his most recent position, they did not win a championship.
Right.
He is an emerging star from the offensive side of the ball. You go out there. Your job is to make it championship caliber practice. Maybe what you should do is just practice not saying everything that pops into your head. Because it feels like this is just another one. We played a clip yesterday where he said the specific thing that we need to work on is everything. That's a very stupid thing to say.
Yes.
He said the other team tried harder than us in every phase after the beatdown from the Lions. That's a very stupid thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
It just feels like he keeps doing it. Now, I've come across a couple theories on why that might be. Well, Chicago, it's a really big job. And you go out there, it's a big city, a lot of spotlight. There is a brand new head coach for the New York Jets. There's a brand new head coach for the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes.
So don't tell me that the bright lights and big city of Chicago are the reason I'm seeing more Ben Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't hear Aaron Glenn, who also left the Detroit Lions. I don't see Brian Schottenheimer, who nobody expected to be a head coach. I don't see them saying stupid stuff, right?
Right.
So he's not the only head coach. He's not the only 0-2 head coach. Aaron Glenn, also from Detroit, also 0-2. Kellen Moore, did you even know Kellen Moore was a coach with the Saints?
Yeah.
You haven't even heard a word from him, though.
Nope.
Like, you knew it because you're obviously smart sports guy.
Right.
But you would, like, there hasn't been a whole lot of, well, Kellen Moore's in over his head. Spencer Rattler is quarterback. The Saints are a mess, and everybody knows it. It's going to take him time, so he's keeping his head down. He's not saying anything. The other theory, well, you got Caleb Williams, first overall pick. You got to make that work. You're a Jags fan.
Yeah.
Liam Cohen inherited a first overall pick.
Yep.
And that guy had a big regression year. Is it probably, maybe not the exact same thing.
Uh-huh.
Maybe Trevor Lawrence is not as polarizing as Caleb Williams, but that's a pretty big job.
Yeah.
Going in there and being the next guy in line to try to save a guy that has as much or more potential than Caleb Williams.
Right.
So I don't think it's just the quarterback. I've kind of gone through it from a couple different angles. It feels very much like Ben Johnson just can't get out of his own way.
And as far as...
you with me?
No, absolutely. And okay. As far as a championship history with Ben Johnson...
Oh, here we go.
He started out in college, spent a couple of seasons in Boston College.
Did they win a national championship? What year did Boston College win their national championship that they never won?
Pretty sure it was, yeah.
That they never won?
Yeah, that they never won.
What year was that? Okay, so no championship.
Right. Then it was on to the Miami Dolphins. From 2012.
Oh, I thought you were going to say 70.
Yeah, right.
Okay, so
from 2012 through 2018.
Not a lot of winning there.
Then went to Detroit in 2019.
And Detroit, if I recall, has never played for a Super Bowl.
Right, and now on to the Chicago Bears.
So shut up! So, yes. Ben Johnson, can you get out of your own way?
Championship pedigree.
Well, they're looking for championship caliber practice.
Yes.
Practice. And... This is I don't want to take shots at Dan Campbell. Well, I'd like to keep my kneecaps, but wasn't the problem with the Lions that they couldn't stay healthy? Wasn't the idea behind the Lions that every play would be played with veracity, every play at practice, every snap in the game, mm-hmm. everything will be nothing but anger and force and get after it. And then their entire team crumbled.
Yes.
Into little piles of dust where men once stood because they may have ground down a little bit too hard. So I think if you're looking for a guy that is going to be the first of this new batch of head coaches to disappear, it's usually the one that's the loudest,
mm-hmm.
or the one that we're seeing the most of. Not a great look for this guy. So just a pattern that I've been recognized. So if you are a Bears fan, congratulations. You picked the wrong quarterback, followed up by picking the wrong head coach. again.
Yes.
For how many times?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What? Ryan Poles, it seems like he has been making the wrong choice every step of the way since he's been there, but at least they extended him.
Well, I think the next firing is everybody goes, and we'll see. We'll see what happens. I could be wrong. I've already predicted that the Miami Dolphins would be a train wreck before the season even started.
Mm-hmm.
So far, so good.
So far, so good.
This one feels pretty bad, too.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry to dump on Bears fans immediately out of the gate during a rivalry week. Who's going to win?
Huh?
Who's going to win? Ducks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's do some in case you missed it. All right. NASCAR legend Tony Stewart will race against his wife, Leah Pruitt, in an NHRA Top Fuel race in 2026, continuing his drag racing career for Elite Motorsports. I must say, this is a lovely story, and I'm sure the racing community is very excited about it, but news outlets should be a little less misleading with their headlines. I was very excited when I saw, can't wait to see Tony Stewart and his wife in drag together.
Honestly, I didn't even know Tony Stewart was still a thing.
Well, and somebody married him.
Right?
I mean, look, there's all kinds of things about Tony Stewart that I don't know, but... If he showed up in drag, would you take a look? Like, if that was a thing?
I mean,
yeah, let's go.
A little bit of a double take there. Yeah.
Any professional athlete all of a sudden is on RuPaul's Drag Race.
Yeah.
It's like, let's go. They go on Dancing with the Stars. How come they don't go on Drag Race?
Right?
Come on. It's 2025, people. Get with it.
Lighten up.
Unsigned NBA free agent Ben Simmons denied retirement rumors on Instagram despite speculation fueled by his off-season activities and recent professional setbacks. He said, if I didn't play when everybody was expecting me to, why would I retire when everyone is expecting me to? Is it cheap shots to make fun of Ben Simmons, or is it required?
Required.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure I'm doing the right thing. Listen, sometimes I put my head down a little too much, and I'm like, well, this seems pretty easy.
He's got it coming.
Okay. I saw an article that said Kawhi Leonard's Clippers scandal involving the off-the-books payments from team partner exposed the, and I'm going to use quotes here, myth of fairness inherent in the NBA's salary cap. Okay. The myth of fairness probably also revealed the myth in fairness in the NBA as a whole, and the business of sports and business as a whole and life as a whole. Guess what, people? Life isn't fair. Shut up, Pablo Torre. Take your stupid Harvard degree and go do something good for the world with it. I don't care if athletes cheat. It's fine. What? Who? Come on.
Come on. I care if they cheat.
Why?
Why? Because integrity of the game.
Point. Okay. Let's play a fun little game. Let's go through and show me undeniable evidence of integrity of the game being a thing, and I'll go and pull all the undeniable evidence of cheating in sports, and we'll see who fills the list first. Do you want to do that?
Yeah.
Yeah?
All right.
Okay. What when you hear integrity of the game, what's the first thing that you think of?
Not cheating.
Yeah, well. Okay. But what's the moment? What's the time? Because if I think of cheating in sports, I think of the Astros, the home run chase, Lance Armstrong. I think of every cycling race before Lance Armstrong because I read the book about that one.
The baseball steroid era.
Well, that's what the home run race with all the steroid era of baseball. You think of the cocaine era of baseball, the amphetamines era of baseball, the uppers era of baseball, the pre-uppers upper era of baseball. Like, it's just... It goes on and on. So give me the pure moment where it's for the love of the game, for the integrity of the game. What's your one example that you got? Okay, that's what I thought. Speaking of integrity of the game, Wofford's men's basketball team faces a risk of not fielding a team this season after the sudden firing of its coaching staff led to players' ineligibility and potential transfers. My big question is, how will Isaac and Suk ever fill their segment, Wednesday's Warm Wofford Walnuts, if the Terriers aren't playing hoops? Does that sound like... The first thing I thought of was like, that sounds like an Isaac and Suk segment.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Okay, all right. Miami Hurricanes, this is finally. In case you missed it, the Miami Hurricanes have received $1.8 million in donations to erect on-campus statues of Heisman Trophy winners Vinny Testaverde and Gino Toretta. $1.8 million for two statues? I can save you a bunch of money. Nobody even knows what Gino Toretta looks like. Just hire the guy that did Ronaldo's statue. It'll save you tons. Can we just do that? If I lined up six people that look like they could play quarterback, could you pick out Gino Toretta?
Probably not, no.
Okay, that's what I thought. Yeah. My favorite thing about Vinny Testaverde, though, is I don't know if you would watch the Heisman ceremony every year. No. They always bring back the former Heisman winners.
Right.
You know who won right before or right after? I think it was right after Vinny Testaverde. Huh. And they stand next to each other because they stand in order of what they do.
Gotcha.
Doug Flutie.
Oh, nice.
Do you know how different the size of those two men is?
I can only imagine.
It is like taller, wider. It's you've heard the Doug Flutie in the testosterone commercials or whatever where he's like, Nugenics or whatever it is.
Right.
Like, I feel like Doug Flutie takes whatever pill he thinks is. He's, you know, like, this is going to make me big and strong.
Yeah.
And he just hopes he turns into Vinny Testaverde.
Exactly, yeah.
I think that's what they're trying
Seeing
to
them
sell.
Side by side, it's like Arnold and DeVito and twins.
It's like, have you ever seen Mark Ingram stand next to Derrick Henry?
No.
That's another very, very good one. Mark Ingram about this big.
Yeah.
About fits in like a large suitcase that you would take on an airline flight. Derrick Henry does not fit in doorways. It's two different things.
Yeah.
All right. I've vamped a little longer than I needed to. Let's move to the Daily Buzz. We do it next. This is Happy Hour on 105.1 The Fan.
Top headlines, trending topics, and trivial matters that got our attention. It's the Daily Buzz on The Fan Happy Hour.
The Buzz. Buzz. Buzz.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
Oh, hey.
Mariners have already won today. I was going to have to start the show with talking about the loss from yesterday. So we will still do that. So yesterday, Mariners lose 5-7 to the Royals at home. But I do want to at least point out the silver lining on that. So if you did not watch the game and you're only checking scores and seeing what's going on with the Mariners, like I imagine Jeff Russ does, what you need to know about yesterday.
I actually did watch some last night.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to talk about then? You know what my silver lining is for the Mariners?
No, no.
Eugenio. Eugenio Suarez was 0-33 going into last night's game. He is still hitting 185. Last night, not only does he have the two-run home run, he went 4-for-4 yesterday. So that has to make you feel pretty good. So
there we go.
And I told you this yesterday. We talked about this yesterday. Yes, optimism. You want to you expect your team to win every game. Well, it's baseball. You're not going to win every game.
No.
I knew the streak was going to come to an
end
at some point.
60% of them.
Hey, amen to that. They're already winning 70% of their games in September. We talked about all this yesterday.
Yes.
So losing last night was not the worst thing that happened in the world. But I told you, need to win this series, need to win the next series. So then coming into today, you get the matinee game in Kansas City. The Mariners take care of business. They win 2-0. They win the series. Now they'll travel to Houston. Houston has the day off. So what this does, puts it back in that virtual deadlock.
Mm-hmm.
The Mariners, I believe, still have the tiebreaker because of division record. But
that will be settled this weekend.
But the Astros just swept the Rangers. So actually, I don't know. I don't know, but I believe that the Mariners would go into it. The standings haven't updated for me, at least where I'm looking. But
they have here. They currently have the Astros listed in the wild card race on ESPN.
Sure,
not the Mariners
again.
Yeah,
who cares? Because they play.
Yes,
starting tomorrow, which is fantastic. So today's game, it was a combination of Jorge Polanco, who has been like scorched earth. Like, he's hitting over 400 in the last month.
Nice.
He has been awesome. And then JP Crawford. So the way that I'm watching the Mariners is just going, all right, can we get all systems go? Like, if you can get everybody going, that the 10 game win streak was awesome.
Yeah.
Your third baseman did not hit a baseball. Like, I don't even touch the baseball. He certainly didn't get a base hit in that time. So 0-33, you run across this whole 10-game win streak, and you go, hey, imagine if we had somebody at the hot corner that could maybe put wood to leather and just like get on base and do something. So having him having a little pop last night, JP Crawford has moved down to the 9 spot because he was having a little bit of trouble in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. He seems to be getting hot. Dominic Canzone. We don't need to talk about that. That man is hot. But the Mariners looking good with the series win over the Royals. Let's do what we can to hit everything else in baseball today. So, Guardians win again.
Yeah.
They are red hot. That makes them 11 out of 12.
Crazy.
And is that the end of the series? Did they sweep the Tigers in a 4-game series?
Let's see.
Check that for me. So the Tigers are still only 2 games ahead of your Seattle Mariners, also only 2 games ahead of the Astros. I think one of the things you want to avoid is playing the Astros in that first round of the playoffs if you have to.
3-game series for the
Guardians. It was just a 3-game series. And the series is over. They play Atlanta.
On to Minneapolis now for a 4-game set.
Okay, are we talking about the Guardians?
The Guardians.
Okay, the Tigers, more importantly, because the Tigers are ahead of you. Guardians are chasing you down.
Yes.
Tigers are ahead of you. The Tigers and Guardians will play not this coming series, but the next series. So they play one more series before the end of the year, so definitely worth keeping an eye on that.
You are correct. The Tigers are hosting Atlanta for a 3-gamer.
Okay, got that. Blue Jays lose to the Rays. I don't expect the Blue Jays to get caught, but hey, teams have fallen apart before. The Red Sox also lose. So that means the Red Sox would be the last wild card team as of right now. The Guardians are the team most likely to catch the Red Sox. And the Red Sox, I believe, are playing the Tigers in the final series of the season.
Yes.
See, this is all getting very, very interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So it's all fun to watch. It's all fantastic. But right now your Mariners tied. And we'll see what they do going into it. Let's see if we can find it. I had it. I'm going to blame Patrick Harris for this. He came in and wanted to chat about soccer, tell me what was going on the screen. And I honestly don't care, Patrick, but thank you for hanging out with me before.
I don't care.
Let's find the Seahawks injury report, because it is Thursday. A lot of guys didn't practice yesterday. Mm-hmm. One of the things that was interesting about the practice yesterday was that the Seahawks, who have looked pretty good, especially on defense, full pads yesterday. They went out there and they were just trying to beat each other up for some reason. So something to keep an eye on. I hope he doesn't get all Dan Campbell and get them all beat to hell. But we'll see what happens with that.
Leave those kneecaps intact.
Please leave the kneecaps intact. All right. Seattle Seahawks injuries. Here is what we know. So this is going to look a lot very similar to what it did last week.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Jobe plays cornerback, questionable. Devin Witherspoon plays cornerback, questionable. Julian Love plays safety, questionable. Ernest Jones, your middle linebacker, questionable. Torrey Horton, wide receiver, questionable. Abraham Lucas, have you seen his neck roll?
No.
Oh. Your right tackle has like an old school, not Brian Bosworth, but like just that big old under the jersey neck roll.
Right.
And he looks like a bison. It's fantastic. Questionable. Derek Hall, linebacker, questionable. Zach Charbonnet, running back, questionable. This one's kind of a good thing. Nick Emenwori is moved up from doubtful to questionable, but he is a safety as well. That's a lot of people in your secondary that you have to worry about. Christian Haynes is on injured reserve and nobody else of consequence on there. But that is 1, 2, 3, 4 members of your secondary that are all questionable for this weekend.
Ouch.
Against the Saints.
Ouch.
Hopefully the pass rush keeps doing what it's been doing.
The Buzz.
News.
Well, are we really that worried about Spencer Rattler, too? So
you better be the Saints. Dude, I just told you how terrible they are. And they're so terrible that you didn't even know they were still playing football in the NFL. So I'm not terribly worried. But again, it's, you know, you have your entire team. You have to put somebody out there. And I don't want it to see Jake Bobo out there playing corner.
Yes.
That's what I'm trying to avoid. This one's kind of a big news from the Dodgers. A guy named Clayton Kershaw. You ever heard of him?
Yeah.
He says he's retiring after the season. Clayton Kershaw, 3-time NL Cy Young Award winner, 11-time All-Star, World Series champion with the Dodgers twice, is retiring after the season. The timing of this is what gets me. It feels very much like one of those announcements where you go, okay, guys, listen, we need to kind of pick things up a little bit. We have not been great as of late. I would like to win one more, so I'm letting you know. This is my final run. Mookie, Freddie, Shohei, let's go. Rally this team around. Let's get another World Series, because I'm done. I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to be Justin Verlander at 43 begging for a roster spot or chucking baseballs in Japan. I'm done. Let's win one more. We're good enough. Let's go out and do it. Let's get pumped. All right.
Let's get pumped.
We've got Rufio sitting in studio with us right now. Mm-hmm. He's taking copious notes. He's taking this pick 'em very seriously.
Oh, yeah.
If you've not filled out your take your pick picks, you have until kickoff of tonight's game. So go on to any of the social medias that exist around the fan. Our guy Jake he's been tasked with trying to get us more entries than we had last week. We had more in week one than we did in week two.
Oh, okay.
It's probably my fault.
Probably.
But Jake's working on it. So go and fill yours out. You could sit in studio with us next week or call in. But we will do take your pick next. First, we have to do this little rivalry week update thing.
It's Thursday on the Fan Happy Hour. This is Take Your Pick, where you're invited to join the game.
Okie dokie.
Overthink, underthink, or don't think at all. Let's go.
Let's-a-go.
Here's your host, Luke Anderson.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to play along with the show, this segment, Take Your Pick, every Thursday we're picking the entire NFL slate. It is interactive. I'm sending out results to anybody that's picked, so you can go and see how you're doing against everybody else that played. It is a ton of fun, but don't take my word for it. In studio, we have Rufio. You've been playing, I think, every week since we started doing this
every
stupid
week.
Thing.
Yeah, didn't miss a week so
yeah,
far.
There you go. So congratulations on winning 15 out of 16 games. Do you have a special technique you use for picking games that people can steal?
Dartboard.
Dartboard. Hey, there you go. All right. Well, hey, nothing wrong with that. Well, we'll send it over to our master of ceremonies, Jeff Rust, if you want to start our games. Go ahead.
So we're going to start out with tonight's game. 0-2 Miami at 2-0 Buffalo. 5:15 kick. That's on Prime Video. The Bills currently 12.5-point favorites. Yikes.
If Thursday night football wasn't bad enough,
right?
That you get this matchup. Rufio, who you got?
I mean, the line opened up at 11.5. The public came in. I think it went down to 10.5 at one point. We're back up to 12.5. Mm-hmm. I still think that's too low.
Yeah.
The Dolphins have looked awful.
So you're taking the Dolphins?
Yeah, right. I want to be back in here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, I mean, pretty obviously everybody's taking the Bills on this.
Straight up, absolutely, but I think I'd even still take the Bills with the 12.5.
That's pretty safe too. I think the funniest thing is if you look up anything on this game, the only thing that you find is how hot is the seat for Miami Mike McDaniel?
Yeah,
that's
right?
The only thing. Does he have a how about this? Does he have a job next week when we're doing this?
Ooh, that's a better question.
I know, that's why I'm asking you.
I bet you if they go out, they get blasted by 4 or 5 touchdowns, they probably tarmac him.
Is the question now, who gets fired first?
Yeah.
McDaniel or Bray?
Ooh.
What's worse? What's worse, getting completely obliterated and getting it over with and done with, or covering the spread and having a little bit of hope and that situation just keeps lingering on and on and on?
Are they friends? Maybe they can find something to do. Like, would you listen to the Mike Bray, Mike McDaniel, or Trent Bray, Mike McDaniel podcast that they're going to start next week?
Yeah, Trent Bray, the two best friends that anyone could have.
All right, next game.
Next game we're picking here is the 2-0 Packers at the 0-2 Cleveland Browns, 10 a.m. Sunday. That is on Fox. Look, the Browns. Do I need to say anything other than the Browns? So, yeah, no, I'm taking the Packers, please.
Okay, I think that's fair. I assume the same for you, Rufio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're what? They're 8-point favorites right now? I think the line is 8 right now. It's whatever it is. It's still too
late. That seems pretty reasonable. The only reason that the only reason this game is in our conversation, I think it's the only game that we have not talked about this week at any point for any reason.
Right.
Is the only reason I left it on the sheet for this segment. Rust, what else we got?
So coming up next is what do we got here? Houston Texans 0-2 at my 1-1 Jacksonville Jaguars. That's at 10 a.m. also, a CBS game. Jacksonville, actually, they are a favorite, if I remember correctly, in here. So I think it's only like 1.5, but anywho. Yes, 1.5-point favorites at home. So that means that basically they are a dog because you always give them 3 points for the home field. But I'm still going to take Jacksonville. I think maybe this week is when that Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen connection finally starts to gel a little bit.
Ooh, is that a song that you're working on? A little yacht rock tune under it? if they win by 2 touchdowns, will you write a song for Trevor Lawrence and Liam Cohen?
Ooh, boy, yeah. Listen.
We haven't had a new Jeff Ross song in a while.
That's one thing that this show is missing is just the musical stylings of Jeff Ross.
Songbird of our generation.
Right? Two touchdowns?
Two touchdowns? Well, yeah, we'll see here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They win by 2 touchdowns. Rufio?
Yeah.
Texas. We got a witness. Good thing nobody's listening.
No one's listening. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
All right. Texas and Jag, neither team has looked very good at all this season.
Yeah.
But I think the Texans have looked worse.
Okay. that's your measure.
Yeah. So for essentially a pickup game, I'm going with the Jags here. And plus, you know, there's the rust factor. So,
Rust factor?
Yes, the Jeff. Sorry, to clarify, the Jeff Rust.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right.
So I'm going Jags here.
All right. You know what? I'll take the Houston Texans just to go against you two. Because
And also the Texans kind of had me confused this past Monday night.
Yeah.
Right. We talked about this a little bit before the show.
Yeah.
Right? Well, before...
You thought you picked Houston because I may have misspoke, which has not been verified, so let's just not go too far on that.
We can check the tape.
We can, but we're not going to because I don't... Listen, I commit one segment to being wrong every week, so if I was wrong, I'll find it for Monday. You'll be validated.
Oh,
so.
No worries there.
Yeah, all right. Jeff, what else we got?
The 0-2 New Orleans Saints at the 1-1 Seattle Seahawks, 1:05 on Sunday on CBS, also on the fine airwaves of the Fan Sports Network. Coverage starts at 11 a.m.
That's, we have to get our Seahawks game in here just for that. And you know I'm picking the Seahawks. Do you guys need a reason why? It seems pretty obvious.
It's pretty obvious.
Okay, all right. Well, then I will save my breath.
Let's the go reason on. Is the Saints.
Yes, there you go.
It definitely is. Couple more games that will hit. What are they, Mr. Rest?
2-0 Arizona Cardinals.
I know. Do you want to check and see who they've played so far?
Yeah, sure. Give me a sec.
No. I can.
At the 49ers, they're also 2-0, 125 on Sunday on Fox. Sorry, that caught me off guard. I did not expect.
These two teams have both beaten the Saints.
Okay.
And I think the Cardinals' other game was tennis. Panthers? Oh, Panthers. Oh, okay, Panthers. Yeah. There you go.
So there we go.
So 49ers beat the Seahawks and the Saints. Cardinals beat the Saints and the Panthers. Mm-hmm. So my question is, are these 2-0 records inflated because of that, or are these actual good teams? But Rufio, who are you going to make as your pick?
Well, yes.
Yes, they're overinflated?
Yeah, and just because of who they've played. But for me, you know, the 49ers offense is struggling a little bit to find a rhythm.
Well, Mac Jones. I mean, come on. Well, let's go.
And then the Cardinals defense is really interesting. And I really like what they're doing, and I think it's really underrated. They're flying under the radar, and I think that has the advantage here. I'm all over the under for this game.
Okay.
But I'm going to go with the Cardinals.
Here's the interesting thing about the Cardinals is, do you know how many passes Marvin Harrison Jr. has got?
Ooh, the way you're framing that, yeah. I'm going to go with, I was going to say zero.
But it's like, but in two games, yeah. He's got four passes. Maybe it's four targets. Mm. But he has not gotten the ball very much at all. And then, we had the first segment about people saying stupid things. Mm-hmm. You know what he said? It's all about the team. We're 2-0. Sounds like a smart guy.
No, yeah.
But you know, your dad's a Hall of Famer. Yeah. You learn some etiquette and like the right thing speak. To say.
Yeah.
And, but it's coach speak is a thing for a reason. Stick right. with it. We're 2-0. Exactly. It's all about
point.
The team.
Fair point.
So the Cardinals go to 3-0 is my pick because the same reason I pick the Seahawks to win every game is the same reason I pick the 49ers to lose every game. I didn't pick them to lose against the Saints. But with any reasonable justification to do so, I'll pick the Niners to lose. So
gotcha.
Take that, Cardinals.
Well, for me, whether it's McEnroe Jones.
You cannot be serious.
Or Brock Purdy, I'm still taking the 49ers because I never trust the Cardinals.
Fair enough.
I think we got one more here. Monday night, Detroit 1-1 at the 1-1 Ravens. 5:15 kick on Monday. That's on ESPN and ABC. After that offensive explosion from the Lions last week, I'm going to stay there.
Oh, staying with the Lions.
I'm staying with the
All
Lions.
All right, Rufio, they convince you too?
No.
Oh. That,
but they weren't, for being a high-powered offense, I could see them putting up some more points this week, especially because the Ravens secondary is so banged up and there's some dysfunction in terms of coordination on the back end of that defense. Like, let's see here. The Lions put up 52 this past week. The Ravens put up 41.
Yeah,
against the Bills, right?
Well, and that's the difference is who did the Lions put up 52 against?
The Bears, okay, right?
But, yeah.
So, at the same time, though, everyone needs a tune-up game every once in a while,
course,
right?
Yeah.
And the Bears just happen to be the whipping boy for most of the NFL or most of every team that they're going to play so far.
Yeah,
I think that it basically comes down to the Ravens' defense being a little bit better. I think it's going to end up being the Ravens on top. Definitely taking the over. on this as well. Do you want to save the points or do you want to score now?
Save your points. We don't want people to get an advantage on the tiebreaker over you. The points there are just for tiebreaking purposes. If people end up with the same amount of points, I'm going to go with the Baltimore Ravens in this one. I just feel like they've been a little bit more battle tested already this year. Mm-hmm. When you start off with the Bills in that game, I think that they're probably closer to midseason form where the Lions
you have to be kind of Josh Allen.
Well, I mean, amen, but you limp out of the gate as the Lions, then you get a big game coming back. I think they're still settling in. They still have two new coordinators. This is only game three. The Ravens and Lions, you know, were a popular Super Bowl pick most of the year last year, so I wouldn't be surprised if you see them both at the end of the season, but I think the Lions have a little bit more to adjust to where the Ravens are ready to win now. Cool. All right, that's it. Rufio, you want to stick around one more for the road?
Why not?
All right, you're welcome to stay. One more for the road. We do it next. It is the Fan Happy Hour on 105.1 and the Fan Sports Network.
Relax, hot shot.
Welcome back to the Fan Happy Hour. We're about to wrap things up.
Maybe you guys like what I have so far?
Wicked woman, cool creams and misters. You gotta go spell on me.
Let's grab one more for the road.
Come on, everybody. Everything's smooth.
Here's Luke Anderson.
All right, Mr. Rust, what are the people saying out there? How do they think Rufio did? There's a lot of trash talk. If it's bad about him, don't say it on the air.
I think some of the sentiment of how Rufio did might be summed up by his own comment that he typed in while he's been sitting in the studio. Oh, I've been farting up a storm and nobody has noticed yet.
I got my nose broken a couple times. That chair is made to absorb the farts, so I think you're safe there. Remember, that's a souk chair, dirt chair, meringue chair. So yeah, it's got specially engineered.
Oh, yeah. It was still warm when I sat down.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yeah. I'm sure it was.
Maybe we should do a Shador Sanders Nickelback inspired song.
Ooh.
This is how you throw behind me.
Ooh. You wanna work on that a little more?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think you got a good start.
A little more time to work.
Listen. I don't think you got. It's a good start.
Yeah.
It's a good start. You keep working on that, and we'll debut it.
We'll do.
We'll do it in our 3 o'clock hour.
Alrighty.
Okay.
Our 3 o'clock hour. I see what you did. And then also, may I suggest the Monty Python coconuts for your walking sounder?
I said that.
Did you?
You said, do you have any coconuts back there? And it went right over your head.
Yeah. Well, you know, brain's all clogged with malted hops and bong resin.
Fair enough, Tommy boy. All right. Let's do
one for the road.
All right. This headline had me intrigued. Not a great record. I think he's 3-10, but San Francisco Giants pitcher Justin Verlander just had a nice little outing, and he said he wants to come back and pitch in 2026. He would be 43 years old. We just did a story, maybe just a joke, maybe just a punchline. LeBron has said that he'd like to keep playing basketball even after he's done with the NBA. Tom Brady just finished playing quarterback at, 97? Joe Flacco is 102.
Well, don't forget Tom Brady. They're going to do that flag football tourney in Saudi Arabia, too.
You mentioned Rajon Rondo and his flag football prowess. How old is that dude?
God, he's got to be... he's got to be 40, right?
I feel like he's not as old as we think.
Well, since we have Rufio here, I figured this would be a good conversation to have.
39.
So we were talking a little bit in the break. You've been coaching high school football for 15 years.
Yeah.
The difference in just the way our youngest, spryest athletes are training now, let alone our geriatric athletes. Is this something that we're going to see more of a trend where you have guys that are physically able to go longer? And I remember Tom Brady's comment was, he goes, it's so hard to retire because the game is slower than it's ever been, right? Once you can get your full brain kind of understanding everything, those are your peak years, right? Your athleticism is at or near its peak, but the game finally slows down until you can take advantage of it.
Yeah.
The young guys do better because they're a little springier.
Yeah.
And then the old guys do a little better because they're smarter, and where it overlaps, that's where that superstardom comes in. That's where you're supposed to win your championships.
Yeah, that peak of your athletic career, right?
Yeah.
It's like, but for some guys, that peak kind of plateaus for a little bit, and the longevity there is so much. At the high school level, when we're talking about high school athletes, we're seeing way more dynamic type of lifting, of range of motion stuff. It's not just like what we used to do, which I'm sure we're all used to doing, just your bench, your squat, your clean. You still have your power lifts, but so much is about dynamic strength, and it carries over to multiple sports. It's just better for your body in general. And I think because we're seeing more of that at the high school level, and even at the youth level some, with body weight workouts and how that has, the techniques have advanced and evolved over even the past 10 years. We're seeing now those adolescent and teenage bodies develop into stronger, more, there's a foundation there that's laid. So the adult version of yourself can go for longer.
Sure. Yeah. Well, and is that all built into kind of the idea is going, you know, the best ability is availability, even at the high school level, because if you got guys hurting themselves in the weight room, they're not going to be any good to you. Or is it really kind of built in mind going, hey, listen, most of you guys aren't going to go on and be college athletes, let alone pro athletes. Let's just make sure you understand healthy habits. How much of it is a balance? Because high school football is really competitive.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a little bit of each.
Yeah.
And it really depends on what that individual person wants, what they're going for. But there's something out there for everyone.
All right. Well, I personally would not be surprised if we see this happen more and more often. And it feels like we already are. So the 40 is the new, what, 36?
Sure.
Okay.
Right. I'll go with it.
All right. Well, we'll take that. Well, Rufio, thank you so much for playing the pick'em. If anybody else wants to jump in, it's at Fan Happy Hour on Twitter. You can go and find the link right there. Thank you for coming in. Hopefully we'll see you again this season. Jeff Russ, thank you. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And, of course, thank you, Isaac Rupp. We're all done for now. Bye-bye. The right side of life.